Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and joining me right now is Yana Shinaeus. This is our post-match show of Fulham's 4-1 loss to Arsenal at the Emirates. We have a lot to talk about with this match, and before I bring on Giannis, I do want to mention something that is very important to me and want to continue to spread the word of this worthy cause and this organization doing some very good work, and that's the people at London Calling Calm. They are doing some excellent work creating awareness of men's mental health. They are just doing an excellent job with their walks. They just finished a walk to the Emirates, so I want to just give praise to my friends Liam, Lee, Claire, and everyone else that was involved in this walk. It's fantastic. And I just want to also mention that they have another walk coming up to Crystal Palace. So if you want to get involved with their next walk, please do go to the Twitter account for London Calling Calm. It's simply LDN Calling Calm. Check them out. Get in touch with them. They'll have more information about when the walk is going to happen to Crystal Palace. But it's a wonderful cause to get behind, to create awareness. Like I mentioned, for men's mental health, it's fantastic what they're doing, and I'm behind it 100%. So I just wanted to mention that one more time, and I'll continue to mention it as we get closer to the walk. All right. Okay, let's get into the show. But before I do anything else, I have to welcome back Mr. Janaeus. Giannis, how you doing?
I'm good, sir. I didn't realize that we were playing Arsenal in the local library yesterday. But Jesus, how is it possible to have a stadium that's that quiet? I started watching a series on the weekend on Netflix, Russ, called The Casketeers. It's about a husband and wife team in Auckland, New Zealand, and they're funeral directors. And it's actually a really cute series. And they bury mainly Maoris and Polynesians, so from, you know, the Pacific Islands, Tonga and Samoa and Fiji and Vanuatu, Tuvalu. And I'll tell you what, there was more life in that funeral home than there was at the Emirates. Good God in heaven. It was what sort of an atmosphere is that? Holy, is this a library? Is this a library?
Well, just to back up what you're talking about, Max, who was with me to do Cottage Talk full time, he called in from the Emirates and he basically said exactly what you said. And he said that the Fulham supporters were fantastic in such an atmosphere like that, Giannis.
Yeah, it is. It's very I mean, Highbury, the old Highbury, having been the old Highbury,
had the reputation as well.
Yeah, it did. But it was more enclosed. I mean, you had more noise. I mean, it was just, this is what you've got with a lot of these new stadiums. I'm wondering what's the new Tottenham Stadium is going to be like, because you really want to get that famed English atmosphere of the fans being on top of you, the fans being close to the actual field. I know that Old Trafford gets the same reputation. I remember when Sir Alex had a meltdown about the fans and their lack of noise. And, is this the price that we paid, unfortunately, for what happened at Bradford City, Heysel Stadium, Hillsborough, with, the abolition of terraces, that it's changed often the atmosphere grounds. But then again, we watch a lot of Premier League soccer, but we watch Championship soccer, and the atmosphere in a lot of those games is so much better.
Absolutely. It's fantastic. I still watch many Championship matches all the time. I do. I actually very much enjoy watching the Championship, and the atmosphere is excellent. It's a very good point there, Giannis.
Yeah, it is, and even when you look at someone like a team like Sunderland, average attendance of 34,000 this year at League One. And you got to just say, wow, that's fantastic. So, yeah, there wasn't much atmosphere, and unfortunately, we couldn't get the job done, but certainly quite a few talking points.
Absolutely, Giannis. We certainly have a great deal to talk about in this match, because there are different ways you can look at this, because if you just look at the result and you see 4-1, you're probably thinking Fulham got hammered here. Because scoreboard 4-1, but in my opinion, watching the match, I think the scoreline, and I said this to Max, flattered Arsenal tremendously, because if Fulham score on some of their opportunities, especially in the first half, this is a completely different match. And I know that's having my glass half full attitude here, but Giannis, I could take out positives. I listen, I know that there are people that are looking at this and not thinking that you could potentially take stuff out of it. And I understand it, because they want to see results. They want to see us moving forward. They want to see progression. But when I look at this, and then I want your thoughts on this, I was going into this match with the expectation they were going to lose. I predicted 2-0. And what I witnessed was a team that did not play afraid, went to the Emirates to attack, to go after them on the counter, to counterattack, and yep, really take it to them, press them. And they did not give Arsenal respect. They took it to Arsenal. So for me, just talking about the approach is a huge positive for me, that we saw the evolution a little bit of what Ranieri's trying to do. Defensively, obviously, you give up 4 goals. That's terrible. But you also want to see the other part of the game, and that's going forward. And I think we saw that against Arsenal, unfortunately, in a 4-1 loss. So there are positives I'm taking out of this, Giannis. Your opening thoughts.
Yeah, I agree. I thought first off we played pretty well. You know, it was a slightly different lineup, but we certainly created some chances. And I feel very sorry for Cesc. I mean, the first one, 1v1, I'd have put a mortgage on that one for him to stick in the back of net. And the second, that great cross by Schürrle, he's just completely missed the ball. One of those goes in, now you've got panic stations, because you can
tell. Absolutely.
The Arsenal fans were ornery yesterday. They, you know, there wasn't a lot of atmosphere.
But we heard them when Fulham scored.
Yeah, they were pissed, and of course they just got walloped. And it really, I don't even think 5-1 was the right score line up at Liverpool. Liverpool really gave them a really good buffing. And I thought we played well. And you know, the goal came very much against the run of play. And I thought, oh, you know, but I think one of the things to come away from the game, and there'll be question marks about the defending, but it's in terms of the transfer deadline window with the game against the FA Cup game against Oldham coming up, and then Burnley coming up, is in terms of the players that he's going to need. And there's going to have to be some jigging and juggling, because one of the things, if we want to get players on loan, is that Ranieri's going to have to look at, you know, is there scope to cancel a couple of loans? I mean, I'll give you a case in point. Fosu Mensah was a disaster when he came on.
Yeah. He was.
We got ripped to shreds on that right-hand side when Christie went off.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you.
We're playing with three at the back, but you've got two left-footed, you know, you've got two left-footed basically centre-backs there. And you know, with the news today that maybe we might be getting a Gary Cahill, that will help provide some balance and experience at the back, which we desperately need.
Right.
I'm not going to take anything away from the goals that the Arsenal scored. Yeah. They were pretty goals, don't get me wrong. But we just looked a little lopsided, and I don't think necessarily that a couple of players in the midfield did their jobs defensively. But overall, I mean, it was pleasing. Yeah. Pleasing scored a nice goal. We created chances. Had Cesc put those chances away earlier, might have been a very different outcome.
Listen, Giannis, I hate to say it, but I agree with you, meaning that because it's easy for me to say that if they score, the match is different. But I'm sorry, that's how I look at it. And because it was there for them. And I would highly recommend Fulham supporters, if you're listening to this show, reading what Dan Crawford wrote on hamien.com. Definitely read his review of this match, because I think Dan really captured what I saw. So go to hamien.com and read what Dan Crawford wrote. Seriously, because if Fulham do take their chances and they score even one of them in the first half, it's a different match. I truly believe that. And, you know, listen, there was an opportunity in the second half. If Abubakar Kamara gets things right, they potentially could have equalized. And then talk about panic stations, Giannis, at 2-2. That would have been incredible at the Emirates. It didn't go that way. And then they scored 2 goals to put the match away, but there were opportunities there. And that's what's encouraging for me. All right, Giannis, before we go to the starting 11, I want to read some quotes from Claudio from the manager reaction, get your thoughts on what he shared after this match. So I'm just going to read them, and then we'll talk about it briefly. Here's from Claudio. Quote, "It was a strange match because when you come to Arsenal, you know the quality of the players is different because we are in the relegation zone and they are in a higher position. I was so pleased with my players because in the first 30 minutes, we played so well. We pressed high. We created two great chances to score goals, and the Arsenal fans weren't happy with their team. But when they created the first chance, we made a mistake because the goal came from the heart of the box, and we were too wide in that position. After they created another two chances, we have to stay more concentrated in every circumstance. In the second half, again, we made mistakes, and they scored again. And after we reopened the match 2-1 and they created another two chances to draw the match. But then, of course, after we were tired and the skill of the players of Arsenal was amazing, they created more chances and they could score more goals. At the end, it's 4-1 and we have to shut up and say, well done to them," unquote. And that's from Claudio Ranieri after the match. Your thoughts on what he shared?
Very honest assessment. I mean, their skill level is very, very high. We know that. And even with the players they had out, on the, you know, you can call on an Aaron Ramsey to come off the bench. I mean, that should tell you everything you need to know. I mean, and he's probably not even going to be there next season. But having said that, we asked enough questions in the first half to say that, you know, the natives were getting restless. And
Bohm didn't sit back, Giannis.
Yeah, we didn't. And I was pleased with that. And we looked very, very good on the break. And this is, I think, is going to be good. It's going to serve us well, certainly for the Burnley game, because you know that Burnley are going to try and come at us.
Yep.
But we've got enough pace. Burnley aren't particularly quick at the back. So we've got enough pace and wherewithal, if he can stick with certain players and bring a couple of players in before that game, where we can look at that as a potential 3 points. Because we're going to have to, whether we like it or not, we're going to have to start winning some away games. Two draws in 10 league games away from home isn't good enough. So
to stay in this league, we're going to have to. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, got to get some results from somewhere. But it looked like on the counter-attack, we caused them lots of trouble. And, you know, in the 11, 12 days until the Burnley game, Ranieri's got a couple of decisions to make in terms of how that midfield looks. I'm going to be critical of a couple of things. I was really not happy with aspects of Kearney's defensive play yesterday. I thought he looked much more comfortable in the middle in terms of the ball at his feet. But there are two aspects of being a central midfielder. It's the defending and attacking. And there are very few players in the history of the game that can play as, you know, central midfielders that can get away with being a gravy player without providing the meat and potatoes. Again, I'm going to come back to, you know, assistant manager Scotty Parker, who was a very good passer of a ball. But, man, could he tackle if he needed to? And he could certainly track back and defend. And Kearney is going to have to understand that really it's going to take 11 defenders to do it. We can't have, you know, 7-8 plus Schürrle and Kearney's dibbly-dobbling around. And I think Ranieri is going to have to take a look at this.
Yes, I totally agree.
What's your best midfield that gives you the best chance to win? Not just when we're attacking, but when we're defending.
You need balance, Giannis.
We do. And I'm just, you know, I'm not going to throw the cold water over Kearney.
Sure.
But Kearney's going to have to change the way he plays defensively. I mean, it's just, he switches off crucial moments.
No, I totally agree, Giannis.
And I it's sort of, I think an indictment against Kearney is the fact that Ibrahima Cisse came in, and I thought Cisse had a decent game. And we're all looking at each other, and we've been going on, where is this kid? Where is he? Why hasn't he been playing? And he comes in, really, hadn't played a game.
You mentioned him on the post-match show, my friend.
Yeah, I did, because, Anguissa is not available. And are you going to start Seri with Kearney? Well, no, you need to have a little bit of bite. And right. Considering that was his first start in 15 months, I thought Cisse did a very good job. And I hope he plays Saturday, because I do think there's something there. The problem now is you've got to find – you've really got to try and get the balance in terms of getting the back three and the back four right, and who are you going to have to drop, and really the defensive responsibility of the midfielders, the central midfielders particularly. You saw what happened, for example, when Fosu-Mensah came on yesterday.
Yes.
I mean, absolute. He was a train wreck. Just nothing went right. I understand.
Go back and watch the second half. I'm talking about to the Fulham supporters when he came on, and you'll see so much was coming down his side.
Oh, we got killed. We got killed. And now, so there. You know, do we need another right back? Probably.
Yeah. We do, Yana.
Yeah, and we need one, and a centre back. And I mean, heaven forbid if Mitro goes down injured, then we got a real problem. But you know, his comments were, you know, I think there were, you know, that he would have been pleased with the manner which we played at times.
Yep.
But he'd be annoyed at the, you know, the fact that he conceded four to Arsenal, really, when we had a chance to have actually got some, even got 3 points there. So.
That's the crazy part of this, Giannis, is that I went in with the attitude that they couldn't get anything from this match. They actually could have, and that's what's the disappointing part of all of this.
Yeah, I agree. We had chances.
It was there for them.
Yep, it was. But it wasn't the B. But now, you know, we've got, I mean, Oldham's a throw-in. The big game is the weekend after against Burnley, and that's going to be a massive fixture for us.
Okay, excellent, Giannis. All right, let's now go and talk about the starting 11 and the 18 overall. After I ask you about that, I do want to get your thoughts about the players that were not available, but we'll leave that separately. Let's talk about first your thoughts when you saw the starting 11. You've already mentioned that you wanted to see Cisse. Well, you did. What did you think of the lineup and the 18 that included him?
Well, I was pleased with Cisse. I think he's I saw enough to say that, you know, I hope he plays this weekend, providing he didn't pick up any knockers. I hope he plays against Oldham, because I think there's something there. I actually thought Seri played decent when he came on.
Yep.
I thought Cisse worked very, very hard. He's maybe not the toughest holding central midfielder you're ever going to have. I mean, and again, you know, are we looking in the market, you know, someone like a Danny Drinkwater who can, you know, clout a few people that can, you know, stick the boots in? But in the absence of that, I thought Cisse did a decent job. We had no Mawson, obviously. We had no Anguissa. We had no Chambers because he's an Arsenal player. So we were undermanned. I mean, there was the, oh, here we go, Schürrle again. Schürrle didn't play bad yesterday. So Vieta to make way. No K-Mac again. Second game in a row. Boo Boo obviously was back on the bench, so they kissed and made up. We don't look to have a lot of attacking polish on the bench, but the lineup looked okay. Cesc was back in, and against an Arsenal side that even with their absences still have a lot of quality. You know, they've got players like, you know, Torreira and Ramsey,
and they're coming off the bench.
Yeah, coming off the bench. A Lichtsteiner, for crying out loud, coming off the bench. So we knew we were going to be up against it, but the lineup was decent, and Le Marchand had to obviously come in.
Yep.
I mean, sick note Mawson is, you know, he's unfortunately his first year. He's had some injuries, and you can't convince me that he didn't come hurt from Swansea City in the first place. He's been carrying this knee injury for a while, and unfortunately for Ranieri, he doesn't have a lot. It's not like he can go, well, let's wait till Mitro and get him last minute of the transfer deadline. We have to pick up players.
We have to act now.
Yeah, get them now. And so, you know, I mean, it is what it is, and we need to get some players in now. And he's got some decisions to make about even cancelling loan deals, you know. I mean, Fosu-Mensah.
Yep.
As an example, does he have scope to cancel Schürrle's deal early? We need players that can help, you know, get us into 17th. Hate to say it, but it is seven. It's what we're aiming for, 17th. And right now, we don't quite have the personnel.
Listen, I'm there with you. I think they need to really make sure that they get the recruitment in January right. And sooner than later, I know it doesn't always work out that way. In fact, it mostly never does. But they need to do whatever they can to get players in as soon as possible, get them involved, because Fulham need them, especially at center back because of the situation with Moss, and they need someone in ASAP. So I'm there with you, Giannis. And what I would do if I'm Fulham, and, you know, I would be looking this week, and as the match against Oldham's coming up, use this as the time that I'm sure they probably were already looking into this, but they should be evaluating everyone and seeing which players they can go with moving forward and the others that maybe they need to move some of the loan situations. They need to evaluate everyone and make a decision on these players and then get rid of the players that cannot help them and bring in players that can. This is a wonderful opportunity for them to add to this squad, to give them the players that they need to fight off relegation. The opportunity is there. It really will come down to how they play, but also how they recruit. So I'm glad that you brought that up, my friend. All right. I mentioned earlier that I wanted to get your thoughts about the players that were not involved. So I'm just going to ask you outright, did Fulham miss Alfie Mawson and Callum Chambers in this match?
Missed Callum Chambers for sure. I mean, he's been immense, really. The last half dozen games, I don't think there's any, arguably our best player. I mean, we knew obviously he couldn't play because of the loan deal. Alfie Mawson, yeah, but he's a sick note right now. You know, and I mean, he's gone for another 3-4 weeks, and that that really speeds up and necessitates the need to bring someone in, and that's why the room, you know, the story from the Evening Standard this morning about, you know, Gary Cahill. Oh my God, I almost said Tim Cahill. How dare I? Tim Cahill, isn't he an Australian? Gary Cahill, who's been, you know, parking his arse on the Chelsea bench, is the sort of player we could desperately need, because I know he's not played a lot, but man, he brings experience, and
they need that right now.
Oh, critical, absolutely critical. England International, this is what we need. That's certainly going to help us. You know, rumors flying about Nathaniel Clyme, maybe going to Cardiff or Bardiff. He can't really go there. Come to a real club, honestly. He could help us out big time. But Chambers, yes. Mawson, yeah. But I'm, you know, when a player's been injured for that long,
yep.
You know, I'm just beginning to, you know, shrug your shoulders and going. It's like we talk about Jack Wilshere,
right.
He's a walking sick note. So you just go, oh, he's injured again, oh, ho-hum. So the start of his career, I mean, he's been starting to play well as well, Mawson, but...
I know, that's the unfortunate part of all
and
this.
And that's the tough thing, but we can't just sit around wait around anymore.
No.
We've got to move on, so... But we certainly missed him, yeah.
Okay, excellent there, Giannis. All right, let's get into the first half, and let's just start off by saying that... Arsenal had an opportunity. They started off fairly strong with the shot in the second minute from Aubameyang. They came out wanting to take the match to Fulham, but I want to say shortly after the beginning stages, Fulham started to create some opportunities. And we have two of them that we have to talk about. You've already mentioned both of them, so let's talk about them together. You have the shot by Sessegnon in the 15th minute. I'm sure he wishes he had this back. This is a very good opportunity to score. And then in the 23rd minute, as you mentioned, Sherlis sets up Sessegnon, and he just gets it wrong and just misses the ball. These are two wonderful opportunities. Opportunities missed, my friend. It's unfortunate to say that. But what it also shows is that Fulham came to play, and I want to mention that as well. Your thoughts about the opening stages for Fulham beyond the beginning of Arsenal, because I could see Fulham came to play.
Yeah, I mean, the two... You know, the two chances, but I'm just trying to think, going back all the years I've supported Fulham, the last time I ever came across a player who takes to heart as much about whether it's a performance or chances missed or mistakes made as Sessegnon.
Oh, he owns it.
He's a one in a million. He's an unbelievable.
He's got a wonderful attitude about it.
Oh my good God! What an absolutely individual. What an unbelievable young man he is. What a credit to himself, his family.
Absolutely.
But you know, he Instagrammed afterwards that
I saw this.
Yeah, that, you know, on another day, and Yeah, and people, you know, the kid is 18. Yeah, I marvel, and he's right, but he took ownership of it, and
he did.
And one would say, well, why is it in the hands of an 18-year-old anyway? That's telling you something. You know, you've got players like, you know, Cabano and our friend Mr. Aite can't even get in the lineup, and an 18-year-old is in there. And this is where I think, you know, this is where Ranieri, looking at the transfer window, if he could find someone, another striker that could help, because I know that Cesc will learn from Mitro. I'm not sure how he learns. He'll learn in certain ways from Schürrle, but Schürrle's decision making is a real problem. But someone who learns, you know, the intricacies of movement in and out, what he does off, on and off the ball, and you know, Cesc can develop that way. But I tell you,
yes, is this just like a learning curve? He's 18 years old, and in a few years, these opportunities become goals. Is it just learning by doing?
Yeah, I agree. And he's, I mean, you can't. How can you love him any more than you can? He's immense, and you know, yeah, they were both. I mean, I think the second chance to cross from Schürrle, you'll probably end up having a laugh at, because we've all done that, you know.
Yeah.
Fantastic ball, and he's just completely bloody well missed it. These things happen. But the first chance, the first one, you don't know, he should have put away. But you know, they all look. Was it any worse than the header that Mitro missed? Went straight to keeps. No,
no.
You know, he should have. He knows he should have buried that. He didn't. But if we go a goal up, you know, with the state of the natives, they weren't very happy. We got a chance of getting a result for sure. But it wasn't, you know. You got to finish your chances to be fair to Arsenal. They did, but it showed the way we approached the game, and I was really pleased with that, because Ranieri's got to know that for us to stay up, we have to start winning games away from home, and that means our approach has to change.
Yes,
I thought our counter attacking was good yesterday, and if we can give Arsenal problems, then, you know, we can give a lot of teams problems.
So you're making my point, Yas. You're totally making my point. That's why I'm encouraged by this. Because if this is the evolution, like I said, they can go to Arsenal and do this. Why can't they go to Burnley and do this? Why can't they go to Bournemouth and do this? Absolutely. They can.
Yeah, I agree. Couldn't agree more. I absolutely believe that. And that's why I'm buoyed by the number of chances we played yesterday. The goals we could have scored, we still scored a good goal. We still got back in. We still got back in the game. It wasn't a B. To me, the scoreline flattered them.
Yep,
but that's okay.
I agree. Yeah.
In the end, it's not going to be. Hopefully, not going to be goal difference that does us in. I think it'll be points. And we didn't really think we were going to get anything there. I mean, it was. You know, we put ourselves back in the game at 2-1. I thought, well, maybe the unthinkable is going to happen here. It wasn't to be, but that's fine. Yeah. And you know what, we move on. But there were some encouraging signs. There's also some signs of, you know, players that maybe don't let the door hit you on the way out. But you know, Ranieri, I'm sure, has seen that already, and he's going to have to deal with that accordingly in terms of getting ready for Burnley.
Absolutely, Yanis. All right. Unfortunately, now we have to talk about the goal from Arsenal. This is after Fulham really had these two great opportunities shortly afterwards. You have the goal from Xhaka, and I want to get your thoughts on this. I've seen the replay of this at halftime. The guys at NBC Sports, they were talking about it, and they were pointing the finger, and they were showing Tom Kearney, because Tom Kearney was marking Xhaka, and basically he just walked right into the box, Yanis. So let's talk about the goal. Do you put blame on Kearney, on the central defenders? Where does the blame go for this goal?
Central defenders can't do everything. And Kearney just fell asleep and walked right in. He ghosted in. And he's our captain. So, and he's a central midfielder. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. It's not just about the glory from creating chances and scoring goals. It's also about, you've got to do the dirty work as well. You've got this, the meat and potatoes part. And I know Ranieri will be very disappointed by the manner of that goal. Because up until that time, I thought our shape was very good.
Yeah.
But it looked soft.
It was their first, besides the opportunity from Aubameyang, their first real opportunity came in the 24th minute.
Yep. Yeah, and that's the sign of a very good side. Very good sides will punish you. They'll only need half a chance. But then you can do a lot for yourself by preventing that. And you can do that by doing the little things. And I don't think we did. I thought we it was very disappointing. It was just it was very disappointing. It bothered me. Kenny's our club captain. You know, you've got to lead by example, best practices and all that. And to me, it was just, it was soft as hell.
It was.
What are Ream and Le Marchand supposed to do? They can't do everything. I don't think they played badly yesterday, to be honest. I think Ream, I've seen signs where Ream is now beginning to round into the sort of form that we saw last year. He is improving.
I agree with you on that. We're starting to see a little bit of that.
Yeah, we're starting to see a little bit, but Kenny's got to help out here. I mean, he's got, you know, you don't.
Both sides of the game. Your defensive responsibilities, if that's the position you're playing.
Well, yeah, and you know, I would, you know, I've mentioned him a number of times before, but I'm going to do it again. That's the one where, you know, someone like a Scottie Parker takes him on the side and says, "Now look,
yep.
Let me tell you the way it plays out here. I'm playing in the same position that you did. I did for many years, and this is what you need to do." And I was a captain, and the players look at you. They look at, if you've got a player like Xhaka ghosting in like that, right? That you lose respect right there. You lose the respect. I mean, Rico, I thought, had an excellent game yesterday.
I know that's the crazy part of all this.
Yeah, and he's probably going, what in bollocks name are we doing here? What's this fella doing? So, you know, it's he will always, you know, Kenny will always be remembered for the chances he created, that goal against Villa, obviously.
Yep.
But I want to see him putting in a thunderous tackle to take someone out, or, you know, track a man back to prevent a chance. There's two aspects to the game. This is what you got when you have the ball and what you have do when you don't have the ball. And what he does when he doesn't have the ball is a problem. And when his quality could be seen in abundance yesterday.
Absolutely.
But he lacks the discipline to be able to defensively do his job properly. And that's your problem. You need someone who's going to close that space down and who's going to stop Xhaka making a run like that. That's what was disappointing. You saw it coming.
Yep, I could see it.
It's just, here we go again.
Just walked right in.
Walked right in.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And listen, I'm glad that you also talked about what Kearney did positively, because he did. But where he plays, there are two parts to the game, and his defensive responsibilities. And when you watch it back, you know, I just tell Fulham supporters, watch the highlights and you'll see exactly what Kearney did not do here. And it's unfortunate. All right. Let's move on. And as you mentioned earlier, you do have the header from Mitro that is saved. Yeah. It was set up from Brian. That's in 32nd minute. Then you, right after that, you have a save by Rico. And as you mentioned, Giannis, he was pivotal in this match, keeping Fulham in it. You know, he made some key saves. So I want to give him full credit from there. A little later on, you have the free kick from Andre Schürrle that unfortunately goes over. And we'll just end the first half there to just say at that point, obviously, it's 1-0 to Arsenal. And Giannis, at halftime, what was going through your mind? Did you think that we had an opportunity to potentially get something out of this match?
Yeah, we were in it. I thought we'd asked enough questions in the first half. I thought we'd caused them problems on the counter-attack. They hadn't really created a lot. Their fans were very, very quiet. And I thought we'd done enough in the first half to suggest we were still in the game. And, you know, I was very pleased with the first half. I mean, it was a disciplined first half. And the goal would have, I think Ranieri probably got back in the change room and he would have been a bit pissed off about that goal. And it's interesting because the lads went out early for the second half. I'm sure he threw a few teacups saying, look, we've played well enough. And then we've gone on. Yeah. And we're not privy to what's said in the change room.
Sure.
I hope he directed a bit of venom at Kearney. Said, look, you're the captain. You can't be allowed. I mean, really, what you're doing? You know, and it's it, Sometimes I don't know about Kenny. Sometimes, you know, his body language at times. To me, he's a central midfielder who creatively is a lot of fun to watch. He's a good player, great skill, supervision, very good pass of a ball, gets in and out of pockets. But he doesn't – he lacks the stomach for the fight that's required at this level, because all the teams, even Huddersfield, they track back, they make it difficult to close down. They all seem to do their job.
Yeah.
And
it's part of his job.
Yeah, and you know, this is going to be, I'm sure, maybe a controversial comment. I think I was thinking about this last night, and it's ironic because he could be available. But to me, he's a poor man's Dembele. The thing about Dembele, I mean, Dembele, to me, moved the ball quicker. And he was bigger and he was stronger. He rarely lost the ball. But what I did like is he did track back and he wasn't the most physical. But what he did, he did what he needed to do, and his work rate was never questioned. And you look back to the players that we lost in the last 10 years.
Oh, he's up there, my friend.
Massive, massive, massive loss.
Absolutely. And things changed when he left. There's no question about it.
Big time. We just went the same.
I don't know if he's available, to be honest. I, I've been reading what you're reading. I don't know if they could get him, but I certainly wouldn't be against someone like Moussa Dembele. Are you kidding me?
The rumor is he's going to go to China to
yeah,
and hopefully not do what Tevez did, which was go to China and put on £60 in a month. You never know. I mean, maybe it'll.
But I see where you're going on that. But you're talking about someone that played a similar role and was a little bit different and did both sides of his game.
Yeah, you've got to. I mean, you can have the best back four in the world, but you've got to rely on the midfield to do the job. You've got to do the job. And listen, and this is assuming your back three, your back four is any good. I mean, you saw what happened on the right hand side in the second half with Fosu Mensah. All of a sudden, it looked like you're playing with two defenders, and what was going on there. Maybe he was just deliberately pissing it about, just to say, well, let me go back home. But we got absolutely skinned alive on the right,
And we'll talk about that when we talk about the second half.
Fosu Mensah, I could think of a few other adjectives to use him. but suffice to say, it wasn't good. But anyway, halftime. Back to your thing. Yeah, I thought we were in decent shape.
Thought we were in it.
Yeah,
that's the way I looked at it. It's okay. They gave up a goal, but they're in this match. If they could figure things out, maybe they could nick a point. That's the way I was looking at it. I do want to mention to start the second half, Emery makes a change and changes the shape. He brings on Torreira for Mustafi, and they go to a flat back four. So they change things up. So that actually, Giannis, I want to go to you. Is that an indication to you that form we're getting to Arsenal that Emery made that change?
Yeah, and it looked like Mustafi wasn't quite at the races. He didn't look 100% to me, and it was a tactical decision, but I think it was the right decision considering he wasn't 100%. That's good. And you know what? We had asked some questions of them in terms of the break, and that was good, and that was pleasing. But hey, look, that's an Arsenal. I mean, they've got, you know, you look at a bench and go, okay, well, who are we going to pick now? We've got a Ramsey, we've got a Torreira.
Exactly. They can bring these players on. It reminds me of when we played Tottenham earlier, you know, they can change the match by bringing on, who knows? Guess who? Moussa Dembele. They can do this.
Moussa Dembele. Yeah, now, I know.
I mean, the bigger teams, this is what they can do. They have so much quality, not just starting, but on the bench, that they can change the match just like that. And they have these players that can do it. So they make this change, and they changed their formation, which actually I think helped Fulham in the beginning because I think they were trying to adjust. So in the beginning stages, I thought Fulham actually had an opportunity here, Giannis. And from the get-go, Fulham actually got a corner to start off the second half, and Mitro's header was saved. And then you have in the 53rd minute, unfortunately, Fulham were offside on a set piece, but it was just a good situation for Fulham to get in, not being offside, but you know what I mean, that they were starting to create things again in the second half. They were not sitting back. They were trying to get the equalizer, and this happens over and over and over again, Giannis. Right after an opportunity. You have the goal from Lacazette to make a 2-0. What did you see here to give Arsenal the 2-0 lead?
Well, we fell asleep but where the move emanated was from Iwobi.
Yeah.
And on, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're in trouble on that right. And some very, very slick passing. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I know Unai Emery is trying to put his spin on that team, but it's very Wenger-ish, you know, I mean, in terms of their movement to be, I mean, Wenger teams were always very, very comfortable on the ball. Just passing out of tight pockets, very Barcelona-esque.
Right.
It was a nice goal. And, but again, we were opened up far too easily.
Yep.
And it was disappointing because, you know, a goal down, I'm thinking, well, we should be okay here. But the second goal, I thought, okay, now we could be looking at the end of a hiding. But to be fair, we stuck around and we grinded on and we managed to get one back.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're going to get to there in just a second. Before I go there, I want to mention a couple substitutions right after the goal. You actually have Fosu Mensah coming on for Christie. That turned out to be not a good decision, unfortunately, because he did not play well, Fosu Mensah. And then a little bit later, you have the double substitution of Kamara coming on for Schürrle and Seri coming on for Cisse. And both of these players that came on would be involved in the goal to make it 2-1. So before we get there, I just want to mention you actually have a situation. You have a header from Mitro from Seri right before we have the goal. So let's talk about the goal, Giannis. This was great. And it's funny because this goes back to talking about both sides of your game. Because, you know, again, you have Seri got the ball away from, I believe it was Torreira, sets up the whole thing. I believe then goes to Kearney and then eventually to Sess. Sess's pass is fantastic, and Kamara puts in the back of the net. This, to me, was a very positive goal from Fulham, but it does begin with Seri. And for everything that's happened with Seri, this, to me, was a huge positive sign how he won the ball away from, I believe it was Torreira, 50-50. He got the ball.
Yeah, he looked a lot more, much more dangerous coming off the bench, and I think it was a little tough on Cisse because I thought, you know, one of the talking points from yesterday was how was Cisse going to do considering it was 15 months since his last game starting for Fulham. I thought Cisse did very well, and I've been one of those really questioning why on earth he's not been playing, and I think he's done enough to say that he should be in the future plans for sure. I thought he was good, but they decided to change things up, and it did make a difference. The problem is, there's an opportunity cost to this. I mean, it was a brilliant goal, Kenny's ball, lovely ball from Sess. Again, I mean, just the manner of it. Camera's gone in. You know, he's obviously had a seismic Saturday. We all know about. He's gone and apologized, and he's got on the bench.
Do you feel better about this situation? It looks like they've come together on this.
Yes and no.
Okay.
I'm not. I still think. To me, I can think of a lot of managers where he'd have been gone.
Okay, so you're still because post-match show, you were very vocal about this. So that's why I wanted to ask you if you don't mind.
Yeah, and you know what, we might be feeling a little differently had Mitra not got that winner. Because I think it really did. I think the fact that we won that game did save Cameron's bacon. If we drew it, you know, I think he'd be sitting by the docks or by the side of Putney Bridge right now. But the problem again, bringing Seri on, is again you've now got a lack of bite in the middle.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we've got back into it, but then we go and concede two more. So, you know, Ranieri will look at that and say, okay, well, Cissé's done a good job. But clearly, in the middle, they've come through and then they've tortured us on the right. So we need to be tougher in certain areas. The name Danny Drinkwater is, he's the sort of player that we could do in the center of the park. The problem's going to be if you play someone like the King, either Seri or Kearney sits.
Correct.
And
I think that's the conundrum that they're dealing with right now, Giannis.
And I think it's a conundrum that's necessary. I think that teams look at us and say, well, okay, we have skill, we have creativity, we have a little bit of pace, but man, we're soft in the middle.
Yeah.
So we need someone who's got to strike a little bit of fear in the middle, and we don't have anyone that will do that. So Cisse did a decent enough job, and he won't be a match fitness, but we need just somebody desperately like that, and we don't have it. So the question becomes, if you bring someone in who sits,
correct.
That's why Ranieri gets paid the big bucks. But we got the goal back, and I thought, right, we're right back in this.
Yep.
And then, lo and behold, our right hand side collapses again, and before you know it, we're 4-1 down again.
I know, and that's the crazy part of it. But before that, Giannis, great opportunity. 72nd minute. We have to talk about this because Max and I talked about it on full time. You pull another goal back, you equalize and make it 2-2. Who knows what happens after this? Okay, I know they scored the two goals, but you're talking momentum and everything shifts at this point. And Boubacar Kamara passes it to, well, trying to get it to Alexander Mitrovic. He's pointing to where he wants it and just didn't come off. And I guess you have to give the goalkeeper credit as well. He made sure to take care of the situation. But this is an opportunity, man. If they score here, Giannis, like I said, totally different match.
Yeah, and Kamara's passing range isn't his best strength. He has to improve. I know he's young. But that, to me, is a fairly straightforward pass that if it's put in the
What right should spot, he have done in this opportunity, Giannis?
Which is the accuracy of the pass, really. I think it's we did a good job yesterday of getting into the final third, but the final pass often betrayed us.
Yeah.
We can't have 11 sets. I wish we could have 11 sets in yours. But we don't. And that's something, you know, it's the basic passing. Remember, Mitro knows where he wants the ball.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he says to Kamara, I want the ball there. Put it there and I'll make the run. That was what was so beautiful about that goal against Huddersfield. Because when Cesc went on that run, Mitro's delayed his run, then he's pointed. It was just a little subtle.
And he knew exactly what needed to be done. Both of them. They're on the same wavelength. And maybe that's the part of the Kamara situation is that they're not yet. Yeah, they're not. I guess.
And so then you say, well, is he someone who should be good enough to play at this level to start? I say no. Forget Saturday, but no.
Yeah.
You've got someone who's got to come in who's going to be – you really need, if you're going to play with three strikers, you need three strikers that are going to cause trouble. So if you've got two, it's like, wow, the other one's a throwaway. Schürrle, just give him the ball, he's going to shoot from 100 miles out. But you need someone who's going to do something a little different, you know, and so that provide different problems. And all three are fairly interchangeable as well. So and that's where Kamara – you know, he's going to beat you with raw pace.
Yep.
So you sort of know how to defend that, but you know he's not going to beat you with the pass. So it was one of those where if it hadn't been done right, we might have been okay. But unfortunately, the pass wasn't quite right. And then before you know it, of course, there was the Aaron Ramsey.
Aaron Ramsey comes on for Lacazette in the 75th minute, Giannis. And again, I brought up the Moussa Dembélé situation. It reminded me of it. Change within 2 minutes. I'm sorry, 4 minutes. Excuse me, 4 minutes. He scores the goal. Aaron Ramsey loves playing against Fulham, and he's a dangerous player. So let's talk about the third goal, and then we'll talk about the fourth goal. We've already been talking about the issues with Fosu-Mensah. So let's talk about the goal from Aaron Ramsey. It eventually gets to him, but it's more than that. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, this was a little unlucky. It was nice interchange, and the ball tic-tac-toe, and then we sort of got caught near post, and Ramsey, you know, he slotted it home, although it did take a deflection off Tim Ream. I think Rico had that covered, but the deflection took it over him. I said, you take Ramsey off the bench, and you know, you've got players like that, it's a bit scary, to be honest. And even then, I'm thinking, 3-1 bloody flat, because, you know, they've You know, they're sitting there with their cream teas and clotted cream scones and pictures of the Queen and, you know, and then they're all wearing their white gloves. I mean, it's just, you know, honestly, it's just more life. I've said it before, more life in a morgue. And I thought 3-1 flat as these buggers. And then they went and scored a fourth, which was annoying me. Although Aubameyang had a pretty good game. Lacazette had a pretty good game until he was subbed. I actually agree with the Arsenal fans. I thought the decision to take Lacazette off was rather bizarre. Lacazette was giving us all sorts of problems in the game.
It did lead to a goal, but I understand what you mean by that.
Well, that was the most emotional the bloody fans got when there was a substitution.
I mean, you're right. That's a good point.
It was bizarre. It really was. You know, it's the old plastic fans. You know, the thing is, Arsenal fans pay a lot of money to go to the Emirates. And I mean, I've got a cousin who lives in London. He's got two boys, and he's an Arsenal fan. He said he can't afford to go to the Emirates because if he's going to go, he's going to take his boys. And it's so expensive to go in there, and then you add in the food and whatever. And he said, "There's just no way." And the average fan has been priced out of a trip to the game. Now it's interesting if you saw on Twitter yesterday, Russ, there was a horrible story about the cost of mascots, game day mascots.
I saw that.
I mean, you know, a lot of
Max commented on that because he was a mascot himself.
I think that's appalling. That's it. I think that's something. Yeah. You're charging several hundred quid to a Fulham mascot, and you don't even give him a kit. That's just out of order. It's out of order. Just, you know, has it got to the point? Is this where we've gone with the game? And so that was, you know, that was. I said it was sort of funny. They scored the fourth goal, but I was still laughing because of the fact that the Arsenal fans were pissed off because Lacazette got subbed.
Yep.
I'm thinking, you're beating us. You're beating us, but you're still having a moan because of a sub. You horrible little plastic fans. You know, so, but, and you and I have talked before the game. Sometimes, you know, you look at lower league football and the spirit of the clubs and the atmosphere of the clubs, and then you sometimes wonder about, you know, what the modern fan looks like in the English game. You know, these stadiums, they're bigger and they're brighter and they're new and what have you, but do they provide the sort of atmosphere that you know, maybe the lower division ones do? And the answer is no. Even if you look at the best attended games in Europe, Russ, are in the Bundesliga. They have fantastic atmosphere wherever you go, but for some reason, ours is. I was expecting, you know, Unai Emery to get the Royal Dalton China out to have a nice cup of Earl Grey when the third goal went in. I mean, it was, you know, a little bit odd, but you know,
right. Let me give you an example, which I don't know if fans are going to like or not like, but I'm just going to throw this out there because we're talking about atmosphere in a London derby, and I know how I feel about this side. I know how you feel about them as well. But let's admit this, that the atmosphere is electric when Fulham play Brentford.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And, yeah, you know, there's obviously that thing between Brentford and Fulham that is very strong, especially from the Brentford side.
Yeah.
So it does create this atmosphere. And you would think in a London derby, I know where the Emirates is, it's not near, obviously, where Craven Cottage is, but it doesn't have that passion, I guess.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's just, you know, the prices are cheaper. I know, obviously, with Championship and League One and League Two, but yeah, there's something to be said for the local derbies. We've got enough London derbies where you think there should be atmosphere.
Yep.
But you're right. It's what's the word I'm thinking of? Sterilized.
Yeah.
Yeah. The atmosphere, and that's a shame. And that's a shame. But I think that's, to me, that's corporate football right now. That's right. You got Sky Sports, all its money, You've got Champions League. I mean, where that's going right now. I mean, there was a brilliant article in The Independent on, I think it was Saturday night or Sunday. I should send it to you. And it was about the Fulham Huddersfield game. And it said, you know, covering a game that nobody, that between two teams where they shouldn't be there, or it wasn't, it doesn't sound as critical as I may be making it out, but talking about, you know, the history of the Premier League, and you got the four, top four or five teams, and then you've got maybe 12 teams battling to do the, to make sure they don't finish lower than 17th.
Yeah.
And it was just, I think, you know, with the notion of a breakaway Champions League, and it, it has become, you look at Liverpool, I mean, you look at Liverpool, you obviously look at United, you look at City, you look at Tottenham, you could Arsenal, look at Chelsea.
Yep, you got the six.
You got the six. And the chasm is so great between them and everything, everybody else.
Yeah.
That you just, it's, you know, you look at a championship and, okay, the teams that are at the bottom there, like Ipswich and Rotherham, you sort of knew they were going to struggle.
I know, but everyone's still fighting. And
but yeah, that's right.
And when you talk about the atmosphere, Giannis, and I know, again, I'm focusing on derbies, you know, because here I am talking about Fulham, Brentford, but, you know, I've watched the Birmingham derby between Aston Villa and Birmingham, and that is something I've watched. You want to talk about a derby, try watch Derby County playing Nottingham Forest. That's something. And the atmosphere is electric. I mean, it is incredible.
Yeah,
and, you know, and call me crazy. I would like that for Fulham. I would like that for Fulham in the Premier League. Did we get that when Fulham played Chelsea? I don't know.
No, I think I'd argue. I mean, I would liken our rivalry with Chelsea to Brentford's dislike to us.
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy, Giannis.
But then if you look at London derbies, I mean, local derbies, Norwich and Ipswich has a better atmosphere.
Exactly.
And they're separated by a good 70, 80 miles.
Right. They hate each other.
I mean, you've got the East Anglian. And by the way, who was the person who invented – who was the bugger that decided to create a city in Norwich? Talk about in the middle of bollocks nowhere. What is that all about? I don't know what
– I don't know. I don't know, but listen, yes, we need to get back on track. We went on this little tangent about atmospheres, but let's finish this up because you've already mentioned it's 3-1 at this point. You actually have a good save from Rico on Aubameyang in the 82nd minute, but then he falls it up 2 minutes later and makes it 4-1.
Yeah.
And that's how the match ends, Giannis. And it's funny because let's just end with getting your reaction after this match, because I'm going to share mine first. Because my first thought, and I saw this with the announcers saying that 4-1 flattered Arsenal. And that went through my brain because that was the first thing that I thought of, is that this result does not, 4-1 does not show you exactly what happened in this match.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I agreed. I mean, we talked about it, the fact that it flattered them, and it did. I thought we were good value for 1-0 at halftime. I thought we were good value to come back at 2-1. But I always look for learning curves and, you know, and lessons learned. And in terms of where we are in the division right now, I thought it was a critical game in terms of Ranieri looking at the players that he's got, the players he doesn't have, and the players that he needs. And that last 25
It was a
minutes,
good evaluation for him.
Very good evaluation. And I don't believe that he'll use the Oldham game as an evaluation. I don't think he needs to. He knows what he's got. I know Teo Edin just came back from Ipswich yesterday.
Yep.
But he knows what he's got. He doesn't need Oldham to say, oh, right, I need to get this. He knows what he needs. And that's why I'm hopeful that he'll get maybe a couple of players in this week. I mean, if we're lucky, we might even get a Cahill to play against Oldham on Sunday, which would be great. Just so that, you know, his big guns can take a break this Sunday against the team that are struggling. And then let's get ready for Burnley. But he already knows what he needs. I think most of the managers do. The FA Cup is, it's not like the old days where, I mean, there's a lot of prestige, but man, when I was growing up, the FA Cup was everything. It was the chance to get to Wembley. And we've only ever been to one, and I was at that game, and you know, that's perhaps 44 years ago. Jesus, it was that long ago, 44 years. But, you know, Arsenal are playing Blackpool. Arsenal will put their reserves out, as an example. You know, most of the top teams will put, you know, the reserves out. Now, will we do the same thing? Well, you know, Steph Joe may get a game. K-Mac may get a game.
Yep.
You know, we'll see what Steven Sessegnon hopefully will get a game. Bring some of the kids in, but he already knows what he needs, and hopefully this week we can pick up a couple of players so we can start getting a route for Burnley.
Okay, excellent. There, Giannis. All right, quickly, I'm going to go over the stats with you and see what they tell you. Let's see. Let's start with possession: 60% to 40% for Arsenal. Total shots: 16-9 in favor of Arsenal. 9-4 on target in favor of Arsenal. 16-14 crosses in favor of Arsenal. Let's go to passing accuracy. 78% for Arsenal, 74% for Fulham. And let's go to aerial duels. 20-19 in favor of Arsenal. Fouls, 12-7 in favor of Fulham. Okay. What do you take out of the full-time stats?
Well, pretty even apart from the goals. It's you know, possession was okay. You know, fair number of passes. Our style has slightly changed under Ranieri, and we know that. But right. I mean, we were in this game. I mean, that's the big thing. We were in this game. You know, I like
the shots on target and the shots overall. Show you that.
Very pleasing. That's very pleasing. That really is. I mean, it's not like we didn't create chances. We did, and I think that's the biggest thing. You know, if we can create chances at the Emirates, we can.
That's my point. You're making my point, Giannis, because I can look at what happened there and think they can do this in Burnley. And I've already said, you know, Bournemouth, you know, West Ham. Why not? If you can do it at Arsenal, why can't you do it at these places as well? And listen, we've seen them get a point at Newcastle United, at St. James's Park, and I know the history of Turf Moor. I know it, but I'm just going to say this right off the bat because obviously we're going to end with, you know, just mentioning about the older match, but the next league match is at Turf Moor. And I just want to say this to all the Fulham supporters that will talk about our terrible history at Turf Moor. Records in history were made to be broken. I've seen this over and over again. So that to me doesn't factor in this Fulham team going to Turf Moor. I'm just going to say that. Anyways.
Agreed.
All right, my friend. Quickly, is there anyone that you would give the man of the match to?
Yeah, I think our man of the match was Rico. I thought he was excellent. Okay. It's odd for someone to, you know, conceded four, made some very, very good saves.
And it was in seven or eight.
Yeah, and nothing he could have done about them. So, I mean, when's the last time anybody talked about, you know, Marcus Bettinelli being in net? You don't. Rico.
We haven't talked about Marcus in a long time, and that has everything to do with Sergio Rico.
Yeah, so I give it to Rico. Interesting little bit while we're wrapping up the show. Interesting little bit of news just for listeners to ponder over, and I'm sure we'll get laughed at. But just been announced in Bournemouth that Jermaine Defoe is going to be allowed to leave Bournemouth in the transfer window. And it's interesting because we were talking earlier about the experience of having a striker. Now, Defoe is 36, I know.
Yeah.
Defoe can still score a few goals. And I'm wondering, apparently there's been interest from the Premier League in the Championship, and I'm wondering if Ranieri might actually take a look at this one because he was never ever the quickest player in the world. But he's a smart player. And he'd still keep defenders honest. And I'm wondering if there might be a little bit of an interest there for us to take a look.
Put it this way: if they're going to take a look at a 33-year-old Gary Cahill, why wouldn't you take a look at a player like that as just a short-term fix? And that's all.
Yeah,
it is.
I agree.
Short-term. I have no issue with that. I don't know how the brass people at Fulham look at that, because I know that they have their ways of looking at transfers, the way of bringing in players. They want a certain age. But I think this is a different situation where you're just looking for survival. And if you're looking for, say, a short-term situation, situation, I wouldn't be against looking at even a player of that age if he can help you.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I think the thing that will I think the thing that will help us here is experience. I mean, it's some young players, but the Defoe is a smart player, and I think that I know you got someone like even like I don't think he'd come here. Fernando Llorente, who's at Spurs, is room under Galatasaray. But there are players out there right now. Hey, there's even Robert Huth isn't even playing for a club.
I know.
He's out of contract. I'm stunned that nobody's picked him up. You got the potential there for experience. I'm not a fan of the ageist approach, Russ. I always think, age brings experience and wisdom. And, the experience, especially when it starts getting cold and the fields start getting heavy and what have you, is never a bad thing. But we'll see how that goes. It just came up on the Sky Sports.
I'm glad that you brought that up, Giannis, and I'm glad that you talked about the age situation, because I think in theory I understand wanting to sign players that are 28 or younger, or if it's 29, somewhere around there. I get that. But I think that there's also players that can help you in the short term that you shouldn't be against looking at, because you want all of these players to be younger if you're just looking for someone to do a job for 3 or 4 months. And for sure, that's what we'd be looking at in potentially bringing in a center back, maybe even a striker. It's a short-term situation. You should be looking at all options, and the age thing shouldn't be an issue for a team that's fighting relegation, Giannis.
For sure. Could not agree more, matey.
All right. One last thing. Give me a rating for Claudia.
Probably 6. I mean, what's he? I don't know. I don't know if he could have done a lot more. You got Nomorsom. Obviously, you got Chambers, Anguissa. I'm going to give him credit for picking Cissé. The substitutions seem to work at the right time.
Yep.
The decision to bring Fosu Mensah, unfortunately, was a cape to DiCaprio moment. But 6, he'll be disappointed with the manner of conceding the goals. He'll be buoyed by the chances we created and the fact that we were still in the game. But he'll be disappointed we conceded 4, because I felt that the scoreline flattered him. But let's see, the real proof of pudding is going to come not this weekend, but is in terms of the Burnley. And I am actually very hopeful, even though Burnley knocked off Wet Spam.
Yep.
I'm hopeful that we're going to get a result up there.
I am too. And listen, I'm basing on watching a decent amount of Burnley this season, not just against Fulham. I watched them play a couple of times. I watched them play against Watford at the beginning of the season. I thought, okay, this is a team Fulham can beat. And I was right about that. And then I recently watched them play against Newcastle United and thought the same thing. And that was at Turf Moor. So I know what they recently did, but I don't see any reason why Fulham can't go there and get all 3 points. People can disagree with me on that because of the history, fine. But I'm feeling better and better about this side. And I can see what the next step with Ranieri is. It's not just the foundation defensively. It's being dangerous on the counterattack, and we're starting to see that. So that's what also gives me hope. But they do need players in to basically be able to do what he needs them to do. I don't think he has all the players. And once he does, I'm looking forward to seeing what Fulham look like moving forward, because there's a lot of season left, my friend. But listen, thank you so much for doing this. But let's wrap this up. For my co-host, Giannis Chinaeus, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.